Definitely. And what changes do you think should be implemented by general consumers, businesses, and law enforcement in order to strengthen cybersecurity as a whole?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is really to increase awareness, which I know sounds easy, but it's not. Because increasing awareness, we can talk about privacy settings. What they were 6 months ago will be different than what they are today, right? So it's hard to increase awareness when things are changing so much, right? So I would be telling people that we really need to be aware of just kind of the basics, having really great passwords, long, complicated passwords. Use an app on your phone to keep track of your passwords. Make sure they're different for all different sites that you're using them on. I know that it's really easy to use birthdays, dog's names, that kind of thing, and you want the same password for every site, because if you're like me, I lose track pretty quickly and I get very frustrated. So using an app can help with that, and just making people aware also of the social engineering piece of things. Just that, you know, a lot of times when people are calling your house and saying that they're, you know, Revenue Canada and they need information, that's not correct. Challenging people, not giving information out on the phone, not giving information out online via email. You can certainly hang up and call Revenue Canada yourself and try to find out what's going on. There's been a massive scam all through the last 6 months that's been based on this, because, you know, people are afraid. They think, oh, it's Revenue Canada, I better answer these questions. So being aware of who you're talking to, making sure you don't open up links when they're sent to you, making sure you don't open emails when they're from people you don't know, and password protection. It's just those basics, right? Trying to just stay on top of them. I think that's the biggest thing that people can do. It's complicated, but it's not. I think the basics are always there.
I think it's easy for everyone to, you know, take the initiative to change their password every, you know, you don't have to do it every day, but every couple months or so.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep the same password for,
yeah,
you know, your email consistently, because mm-hmm. it just makes it easier for someone to hack into your account. What I do is I change my accounts every couple months for my Facebook, my YouTube account,
mm-hmm.
my Twitter, everything, Instagram. I know it's a hassle, but it's worth it. I've never had issues with anyone hacking any of my accounts, and that's because I'm very cautious and I'm careful whenever I use any form of social media.
No, that's great. It's really great. And what I would say is that try to come up with something that you do all the time. I read a book once where somebody in cybersecurity was saying that every time he washes his car, that he changes his passwords. Well, I don't get my car washed very often.
No.
And some people don't have a car. So
right.
I would say, though, that certainly every time you're setting your clocks forward or back,
yeah,
that, you know, people have been told, like, don't forget to change the batteries on your,
yeah,
you know, your fire alarm system when the clocks change. I would say that if the clocks are changing and you haven't looked at your passwords since the last time the clocks were changed, then that's a big problem, because you're 6 months in. So that's something you want to be looking at right away.
Definitely. And in addition to the work that you're currently doing, can you please discuss some of the programs that you recently implemented in order to help solve complex challenges in cybersecurity?
Wow, that's a big question.
I know we could take a few hours answering this question.
Okay. We certainly, the computer cybercrime section was started about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now. So we affectionately call it C3, which is computer cybercrime, so C3. And, you know, that's been really interesting, because it's been a completely different thing that hasn't been done, certainly in the Toronto Police. And I know other police agencies, some have, some don't have a cybercrime unit, but they're getting there. The ones that don't will soon. Some of the things that we've looked at doing are things to help with proactive responses. So before, you know, really looking at crime prevention in the cyber world. So we've been working with our victim services section here. The victim services section is really interesting, because it's a not-for-profit. So it's completely run by charitable donations. So we've been working with them to try to look at material that can be produced to make you less likely to be a victim of, you know, online, whether it's fraud or hacking or phishing, and working with community agencies to try to prevent these types of things from happening. We've also been working with the private sector, because I got to tell you, the private sector, they're just ahead of us in this space, I think, in so many ways, because they've had more money, more time, they've been looking at this issue for longer. And for those reasons, there's some really interesting, exciting things happening out there in the private sector. So we've been going and meeting with them and taking a look at what they're doing and working in partnership with them. Like so many things in policing, I think that if you can put together something that's, even though it seems complex, if you're working in partnership with academia, with, you know, privacy, the privacy commissioner or people who have an interest in privacy, as well as with the private sector, I think there's, you get some really interesting things happening.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to have that dialogue between scholars, academics, people who work in the industry, the police department, and people who have that expertise mm-hmm. and that knowledge and that ability to, you know, come up with strategies, successful and effective strategies to mm-hmm. address the issues pertaining to cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in terms of the work that you do, you have the knowledge to not only address the issues, but you educate young professionals in our community about the risks associated with cybersecurity, mm-hmm. cybersecurity issues. And I think it's so important for today's youth to understand the consequences associated with cyber issues. And I think by having the young professionals and students and academics and police officers and people who have the expertise all coming together, it's only allowing us all to come up with strategies to implement mm-hmm. in order to address these concerns.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shauna, with the work that you're doing, what would you say are some of the most rewarding aspects associated with establishing and operating a cybercrime unit?
I think the innovation piece is so interesting because even things like the law has not caught up in certain areas regarding cybercrime. So we've had cases that have gone to court and we're explaining things to judges for the first time ever in terms of how technology works, how a particular hack has occurred, how organized groups work online, because they work very differently online than they do in real life. So that innovation piece, that being on the cutting edge, it's a little bit, it's exciting, a little bit scary at times because you don't quite know how things are going to go. So trying to figure out best practice in a space where there's not a lot in terms of where to follow, right? I would suggest, though, that child exploitation units in Canada have just done a remarkable job. They've been on the cutting edge internationally for, you know, decades now. And so that's been a great role model to go with. So again, looking at best practice with respect to policing in other areas, as well as what the private sector is doing. But the innovation piece, the exciting piece about, you know, trying to look around the corner and see what's coming and being on top of it has been really exciting.
And at the same time, what would you say are some of the challenges associated with establishing and operating a successful cybercrime unit?
Interesting enough, I think that the challenges in some ways are the same as the rewarding aspects.
That's what I was going to say.
Just, yeah, it's true. So trying to explain to judges, I was in court once and a judge was talking and they were explaining to him, the person who was on the stand was explaining to the judge about fire hose technology with respect to looking at open source information and how, you know, we get it from the internet to the computer to look at and stuff. And the judge stopped what was happening, and it's unusual for judges to stop and ask questions, but the judge stopped and said, okay, what's this, what do you mean by tweet? Like, what's that?
Oh, he didn't know.
Right?
Right.
So,
I know.
So I thought, we're in trouble.
Oh, great.
Here we go, right? So, you know, you look at judges. Judges are in a certain demographic because to become a judge, you have to have been a lawyer for a fairly long time, right?
Yes.
So you're dealing with people that just aren't online. Now that's changing, as we know, you know, certainly the baby boomers are the fastest growing cohort online, which is awesome. But, you know, this is challenging. It's challenging to get things operationalized through court. Information sharing is also very challenging because a lot of the information sharing guidelines were developed around the idea that stuff sits in a filing cabinet, not on a computer, right? You know, that files are hard copy, not digital.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to figure out how to do things well, how to do things in a way that's respectful of, you know, privacy interests and Section 8 of the Charter, and how to do that without a lot of guidelines has been very challenging, but also really interesting.
And with your experience dealing with courts and the legal system, what changes do you think should be implemented by the legal system as a whole in order to better support a unit specializing in cybercrime?
Such a great question. I think the problem with the legal system, and I don't know how you necessarily fix this, it's too slow. It's too slow. So I look at what happened with Amanda Todd and Rehtaeh Parsons, and it's so important to look at things that haven't gone well. In that case, it was a problem on the policing side, as well as on the law side, as well as in the court system. I mean, it just, nothing was set up to deal with these types of crimes, and there's real people that suffer as a result, right? There's real victims on the other side of it. So, you know, for example, I've seen, if anyone's on GitHub, you know, you can go on GitHub, and at one point in time, somebody experimented with using GitHub, not just for coding, so people can come together on GitHub and collaborate and code together. They wanted to create a space where people could collaborate and create law and, like, not just law, but guidelines together. Interestingly enough, it died pretty quickly. And I think the reason it died is that coding is way more interesting than creating law.
That's true.
So people kind of went, oh, okay, I'm out. But that idea of collaboration, if you look at what's happening online, like, the space to collaborate is huge, right? You look at hackers collaborate. They work together for shared interests. It's fast, it's dynamic. That whole idea of nimbleness and collaboration is sort of counterintuitive to the legal system in general. So we need to look for ways to become more like that so that we can better respond to what's happening in the cyber world.
That's definitely interesting. And at the same time, I'm not surprised that, you know, people didn't find the law interesting. I'm saying that I'm studying the law, you know.
There you go. Maybe you could get the piece.
Maybe,
working.
Yeah, maybe I can start that up again. But, like, there are a lot of individuals out there who are interested in learning more about cybercrime. So with that said, what is the best advice that you can give to those who are interested in working in the field of cybercrime?
Oh, it's interesting. I think that the space of cybercrime, you know, or countering cybercrime, if you will, is that you just got to keep learning, because the technology of a year ago is different than the technology today. And you know what? Online, there's some really great spaces where you can learn for free. This is one of the great features of the internet in terms of, you know, again, what kind of capacities do we have now that we didn't have before? You look at things like Code Academy. I mean, you can get online for free and learn to code. You can get online for free and learn to code outside of spaces like that. You can get onto GitHub and talk to people. So, you know, there's lots of places to learn and to grow, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You can really do it for free. So I would suggest that you just keep learning, keep in the space. And if it's something that you're interested in, you know, I always say, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. So, you know, the fact is that if it's something you love, then get out there, keep learning, keep growing. And there's awesome things that you can do. Some of the great work in cybersecurity is happening outside of the space of the private sector or police or government. You know, you've got those great white hackers out there, right? Those ethical hackers, those people that are out there in the space anonymously working for good. So you can work on cybersecurity at a very high level and not even necessarily be in the field professionally. So that's what I would say. Keep learning and just keep in the space.
Certainly. Shauna, Inspector Shauna Coxon, I want to thank you again for doing a second interview with me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Everyone, on behalf of the NATO Association of Canada, I want to thank you for presenting and for joining us on March the 15th. We look forward to having you featured as a main speaker for many upcoming events. And at the same time, on behalf of all of our listeners today, thank you for, you know, sharing your words of wisdom.
Well, I really appreciate it. I always love coming and seeing you.
It's always a pleasure. I love it.
Thank you.
Shauna, are there any final words you'd like to share with our listeners today?
There's just one thing, and that's this. When we talk about cybersecurity, I think it scares a lot of people. And so on the one hand, people are intrigued with, you know, what you can do with respect to technology. And like I said, that, you know, you come home and your TV's hooked to your Wi-Fi, your lights and your phone, and it's so great. And the kind of music capacity we have, you know, some really great music stuff happening out there online. You can, you know, download and play and communicate with your friends on social media. It's fantastic, right? So my advice would be to be aware, to be conscious of privacy issues, to be conscious of where you may be vulnerable, but to just enjoy the space. You don't, you know, it's like being in a car. If people thought about being in a car accident all the time, you wouldn't enjoy driving, right? So, you know, the idea is to be aware, to be safe, and then just go out and really enjoy what this technology can do for you. And so that's what I would say to people.
Shauna, thank you so much.
Thank you.